A couple of the verses from the first reading from Acts chapter 2, which was read to you just a moment ago. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." Two groups of witnesses present on that first, the birthday of the church, not the first Pentecost celebration, of course. That was an ancient Old Testament festival, but certainly the first time that the New Testament church, if you will, was born, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit as he promised through the prophet Joel. Two groups of witnesses to this amazing event, this sound of a mighty rushing wind, the falling of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and they're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in languages that certainly could be understood. The one group, we are told twice, were in amazement. They marveled, literally, they marveled at what they were hearing. They were drawn to it. There was something about the message that caught them, that drew them in. And they marveled at the message. It was something unheard of until that day. That's group number one. Group number two. Luke tells us here in the 13th verse, but others were mocking and saying, basically, they're all drunk. That's the second group. Those that make fun of the work of the Holy Spirit. Those that turn themselves off to the work of the Holy Spirit. Those who mock the work of the Holy Spirit and the message of the Holy Spirit, because that is, after all, his work, the message of the gospel. Such is, if you will, the lot in life of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is presented. It reaches some and finds fertile ground in some, but others, well, they scoff at it. They make fun of it. They mock it. They say it's a bunch of nonsense. It was that way then, and certainly it is that way now. The Holy Spirit comes with a message of salvation. A message of salvation that began already in the Garden of Eden, immediately after mankind fell into sin. The message that God himself would come and would repair the damage that man had caused by rebelling against God and what God said. Why? Simply because God does not want the relationship to end with humanity. It is the pinnacle of his creation, humanity is. And he wants to spend the rest of eternity with you and me. But being the just God that he is, he could not. He couldn't just sweep sin under the rug and act like it didn't exist. That's not justice. And so God's plan was to take care of the matter himself, to confront it, to face it, to make the payment that was necessary for it, a blood sacrifice. That's what all the Old Testament sacrifices are all about, of course. Pointing forward to the one ultimate sacrifice made by Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. And now the message of God's Holy Spirit is very, very simple. God has paid the price for your sin. You don't need to do anything to try to earn it, to try to win it. All you have to do is trust that what God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ, is sufficient for eternal life in heaven. That's it. And that's a marvelous thing to listen to. Because what it does is it gives you and me hope, the only hope we have in the face of death itself. What occurs after death? We are transported to heaven because of the Son of God. That's the message of the Holy Spirit, a beautiful message. And there are those in the world who marvel at it, who wonder at it, who are attracted by it, in whom it takes root, who believe it firmly. But there are others in the world who do not believe it. There are others in the world who scoff at it. There are others in the world who make fun of it, who believe that it is naive simply to believe in something like sin. And certainly to believe in a God who sent his Son and killed his Son to forgive my sin. It's nonsense, they say. And they have all other kinds of monikers to place upon that message and upon the person of Jesus Christ himself. They mock it. They refuse to believe it. Typical of the work of the Holy Spirit. Wanting all men to be saved, and thus the gospel being for all people. But mankind has the ability, you see, to refuse it. And many do. It need not surprise us that there are some in the world who do not believe it. I can remember being told when I was in my first year at seminary, I've told this story before, I was sitting in what we'll call a restaurant. It sounds better. And there was a regular customer who came in there all the time, and he was a psychiatrist. He struck up a conversation with me, and he asked me what I did, and I told him I'm a student at the seminary here. And then he asked me what I believed, and I told him the message of the Holy Spirit. And he looked me right in the eye. And this is the only time this has ever happened to me. He looked me right in the eye and he said, "You are going to hell." Now, as I've said before, I've been told to go there many times, but I've never been told I am going there. He said, "Because you are disparaging God's greatest gift to you, the gift of yourself." You see, by calling myself and believing myself to be a sinner in need of God's forgiveness, I was disparaging myself. And for that, he says, God will not forgive me. Such is the lot in life of the Holy Spirit and his message. But he continues to proclaim it, and he will never stop proclaiming it, because of his will for all people to hear and to be saved. Now, don't be unnerved because some do not believe. Rather, give thanks to God daily that he has worked that faith in me, that he has kept that faith alive in me, and that because of the Holy Spirit, I do believe. And I therefore have the hope of everlasting life with him in heaven. Amen.